There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Easy to get in touch as well. And we will start working through later in the show. So many texts we got piled up, but keep piling them up. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And remember, you can always leave us a talkback message using that microphone icon. In other words, a thing that looks like a microphone on the front page of the app. You press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can choose to play it back here on the air. So check that out as well. All right, truly has been too long since this man's been on the show with us. U.S. Army vet. He is a, I would say, if you had to have a human that was like the embodiment of Red Bull, it would be none other than Troy Carrico. So we'll get, we lost him there. Let's see, is this Troy?
Yeah, I lost you there. I was dropped, I think.
Okay, well, that I did that. I pressed the drop. No, I didn't. Good. I was just talking about you know, what a lazy ne'er-do-well you were, and then now we bring you on.
I'm a never-do-well. In the words of Mark Twain, I'm a never-do-well. That's what I do.
You know what? That's a great segue here, because I'm going to read y'all. Troy and I've got along since the first time we met. He is he's very educated and well-read, and also loves some vocabulary. Let me read two sentences to y'all, and then we'll get into the story this comes from. Yet this need does not excuse the brigand approach and the profiteering plunder. We can meet this requirement without sacrificing American communities to voracious corporate appetites. I'd give you an A on that paper, Troy. Good work.
Well, from a libertarian like you, I'll take that as the ultimate compliment.
There you go. So let's talk. We're talking, which has been something I know all over the state and right here on FM Talk, the discussion of data centers has been 50% of our conversations for the last few weeks. You're writing about that over at 1819news.com. Tell us about this, a path towards data centers, but not in our backyards.
Well, front and center is, I guess, an understatement on what data centers have been. Let's back up though for a minute. And I have to tell you, my wife is the one that got me onto this, because she's become extremely deep diving into it and almost taking black pills, I think, sometimes. But that's okay. She's good looking, and I love her, and she loves me, so I think. But my point is this, that I want to make out of this, is that there is a degree of misunderstanding. This has existed for a long time. When I worked for DIA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers headquarters at USACE up in D.C., we were partners with Google Earth over in Dulles, Virginia, mm-hmm. and Leesburg, Virginia. They had the largest server farm in the world up there in Leesburg, Virginia at the time. I think it was almost 1,000 acres. So the thing is, this has been around. And oh, by the way, and I just want to say this to any of your listeners that say, no data centers, none. Every time you pick up that phone that I've got in my hand right now, every time you use that phone, every time you take a picture, you are feeding the monster. It's that simple. So that's the case. Where I'm coming from is, it's a not even a necessary evil. It is a certainty. So how do we get to what right looks like? And before people go on about water usage, it is important. Water is the most valuable resource we will have. I learned it from the Corps of Engineers. We will use our last drop of oil to get to our last drop of water. So you kind of got to balance those things, I think.
Yeah, well said. But I want to, you know, we could to say the problem is we get a blanket term and say data centers. And you could say, well, one does this, the other does this, some older ones do it this way. You know, I could, like, the one that's got a lot of conversation lately here for Calvert, Alabama, North Mobile County, it's could be different. They're saying it's a closed-loop system. They talked about the water demands being equivalent to, you know, like a neighborhood. You know, not, and nobody stops anybody building a neighborhood because of water use. So that part, you know, you might find some story of another one that had an open loop system from, you know, some other time, some other place, but that's not this one. So, but people go, oh, we're going to use all this water. Well, in this case, it doesn't seem like it.
I agree. And I think that, it's end usage dependent. There is closed systems. There are partially closed systems. There are full open systems. Here's my thought. And the other piece that concerns me to a degree and is the power generation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum when I'm on here. If we would have just followed what the U.S. Navy's been doing for 70 years, we would have reactors. But yep. We know big business. We know Alabama Power and Southern Power will never allow that to occur. That would cut into their profit margins. But let's go back to this. The thing I've got a problem with that made me rewrite, I wrote a week ago, you saw my initial my initial piece on data centers. You know, when Coach said, get used to it, it's coming, all right, and kind of torched some people off that there was no discussion over it. I think what I was trying to capture was it is a non-negotiable necessity. How do we get to what right looks like? And my proposal, I think, is based upon the fact that we have very poor transparency with our elected officials in some cases, with NDAs behind closed doors. Look, if you've ever got to sign an NDA behind private doors as a public servant, you need to go ahead and hang it up.
Yeah.
We're coming for you.
You need to walk out. If they say that, you need to just walk out of the meeting and say, well, nice seeing y'all. I'm going. Yeah, and that's, I think you, and y'all read this piece over at 1819 News. It's this nuanced approach, which I thought was very interesting, that it's, is it as much about data centers or the way that people have been treated on this, that it doesn't seem to be up for public discussion, right? And this has happened for a long time. It's just, I think more people have woken up to what happened. I mean, this happened for steel mills and chemical plants and whatever, you fill in the blank. But now this is folks that are, you know, have woken up to this and are going, hey, why didn't I get in on the loop?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, Brian Dawson and Craig Monger did a really good podcast here recently after I wrote that first article about an incident where the terms of the NDA was, hey, if you get a Freedom of Information Request Act come in or anybody wants to see it, destroy these documents. So that was up, I believe, in Birmingham, I believe, or Anniston. I mean, look, what is the old Jerry Clower saying? How do you know something's wrong? Are you ashamed to tell your parents and your friends about it? Yeah. Well, that's kind of where they're at. So,
well, but and the problem is, though, so that issue is not that it doesn't happen at multiple, but that issue is kind of specific to that one deal. But it gets put in the milieu out here, and then it becomes branded for every deal out there. You know, that's the,
yeah, it does.
You know, that even if we have one that's completely on the open and, you know, can FOIA request it all day and all that stuff, people are going to still stick with the idea that, oh, I heard a story. This was all, you know, that one over there was bad. It doesn't mean the other one is bad. And I like, even though we've been talking about it on the show, I am not paid by any of these people. He says, all right, I'm not getting paid. I wish.
Do you have an NDA?
I do not. Okay. I do not. But if they want to drop off bags of money here, I need a new offshore boat for fishing in the Gulf. I will take their money. I'm not going to change my opinion, but I'll take their money. But it's this idea that people feel maybe they're protesting this in the fact that they weren't included in the conversation. Is that, I mean?
Well, I think you're right. And I think here's the problem. We know that life creeps at a snail's pace, but then when something happens, everybody's like, well, what just happened? And the thing is, this has been going on for 30 years now that I know of, and 20 some that I actually walked inside that data center to see the massive amount of systems that were in there. And, you know, I think two things that you got to remember that are coming. The codification piece of data storage is being worked at an exponential rate. And then quantum computing is going to help solve a great deal of the actual horsepower that's going into that process. But we're still not there yet. So what are we doing in the meantime? My proposal is that going forward, we tie in to these critical areas where there's less population, ample water supplies, and cooler environments. And that would be stimuluses for places such as North Dakota, Alaska, Idaho. They're all tied in. Trust me, our defense backbone goes all the way through up to Fort Greeley and up to all those places up there, Elmendorf. We could be tied into the backbone and be able to move data freely around in a cooler environment. Now, I'm not opposed to it being here. And, oh, by the way, I don't think everybody's cows do go sterile after you build them. And I've read these crazy things.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a degree of misinformation, disinformation. Is it environmentalist? Is it Chinese interest to see us falter? You know, I mean, there's so many angles at it. But I think we need to figure this out with good American grit and true determination, because this is a critical piece of our infrastructure going forward.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, you could, the paint from the environmental brush is on me as well. I'm a conservationist, but an environmentalist as well. I have looked at this with open eyes. Like I told the audience that I've been trying to figure out logically, not with emotion, but logically, what the issues are here. And I'm not seeing... They're talking about down here, we're putting them in places where we already have said it's okay to have steel mills, chemical plants, these kind of things. We've already made these judgments about these areas. It's not like they're going in the middle of the Mobile Tensaw Delta and putting this in. So, on the environment, I mean, I'm a watchdog on that. And if I thought it was going to be polluting, I'd be asking more questions. But I have not seen anything that showed me it's polluting.
Well, I can tell you this. You're right about like the zoning piece of industrial use and all that. I think this one has a higher, depending on the configuration, a higher demand on energy and a higher demand on water than the average bear. But let's just say this. Like I said, it's been going on for 30 plus years. I have no evidence that it is that sinister or that degrading to the area. Any place can have bad management in an incident.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, it's just, if you don't, you know, and my wife gets frustrated with me. If you don't do it, then guess what? Your neighbor's going to do it, and then you're going to be out of that. And it's just, to me, I think, I don't know where it came from, and I'm still trying to figure it out myself. Why this sudden upswell? Why this sudden urgency? This has been going on indefinitely for the last 30, 40 years. Why now is it a problem? And what do they say? You and I have said this before. Follow the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the dollar's what's going on. Maybe somebody has an interest in blocking it. Maybe someone has an interest in defaming it and degenerating it. So I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I'm knowledgeable enough from the intelligence community to know about data centers, server farms, and replicable systems of information management. And I can tell you that I feel like we have a solution in front of us. We just need to use it. We need to monitor. And I would like to see some federal legislation. Dare I ever say that?
As what?
I said in my, you saw me, you saw what I said, I go, I clutched my pearls. I said, dare I say we need some legislation to guide this thing going forward? Because right now it's catch as catch can. And I think that's going to serve to the detriment of the community of practice as people will make these outlandish claims. So,
you know, the one thing, as I pick these things apart, one thing on the power, we talked about the water, at least here locally, the people with the utility told me, like I said, it was just a neighborhood's worth. But on the power, I would just like to hear a declaratory, because that's like there's my Achilles heel on this. I want a declaratory statement. I understand Alabama Power, because of the baloney deal that was done with the PSC in the last session, did give us a rate cap till 2029. Okay, but I want to go beyond that. Will they, the power companies, say the net pay, you know, per kilowatt hour, whatever, is not going to rise on our other customers because of these data centers? Just give me if you can say absolutely not, and we're going to put it in writing, then that was the one thing. If that's not going to happen, then what do I care? I mean, you know how much power goes into a steel mill? You know how much power goes into a big chemical plant?
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening right now.
Well, I concur with you. I'm going to tell you now, though, I think our bills will go up. I'm sorry.
Well, they have been going up for the last 10 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I know about Southern Company and Alabama Power in particular, I know that they love to raise the rates, and I think there's always an excuse. And let's be honest, the nuclear system we have in the state's really not going to help offset any of that for us if they ramped up because of the water. The biggest concern I have, and this is just me, is the NDAs and these shady deals behind back doors.
That's fair.
Everything should be transparent. Everything should be transparent, okay? That's the way it should be with all businesses. I don't want to hear trade secrets. I don't want to hear that garbage. If you're making a deal with the government on behalf of the people, then the people need to know what it is. So fair and simple.
Yeah,
and I think that's my big complaint.
Well, I think that's a fair one. By the way, side note, you talked about moving to the north and west for cooling. It was interesting you talked about that backbone, because when I first started, and this has been even before this really came up, I just started asking, you know, regular guy questions, said, you know, why don't you put them in cold places? And the pushback on what I would read would be, hey, they're too far away from the spine. The, you know, the latency times are too far to go there. But you're saying, whether we the people know it or not, there's a robust connection going up through to Idaho?
I assure you, there is there's a defense information systems backbone that runs through there, right? I mean, no matter whether you're in D.C., no matter whether you're in Anchorage. Trust me when I tell you that pipeline, and it's usually managed by Verizon, believe it or not. Verizon usually handles the federal contracting on all these pipelines. And anybody that's listening out there, to all your listeners that are know what I'm talking about, there is a backbone. Some of them come out of places like Fort Meade. Some of them come out of places like Fort Detrick up in the capital region. There's some that come right out of Carson. No, that's not an issue about compression. And the argument has been made, I don't know if you've seen this, that some of the reasons things have not been so transparent is that they're falling under a unique clause of information management under the DOW, the Department of War, as a critical infrastructure piece. Mm-hmm. I've seen no real concern evidence on that, though. That's being bandied around, that one of the ways that they can do it is say this is a closed facility, it's U.S. federal property. I think, look, I really believe that this is one of those matters based on the new doctrine of warfare, the new battle space that we're about to encounter, that digital, AI, autonomy, all of these things feed. And this is a critical node in the Republic's future and the wellness of of us and the primacy and our power abroad if we don't get on this right.
All right, Troy, people, of course, can read that at 1819news.com, but they can also get your Substack.
That's right. I've been doing Substack, and it's really interesting because I'm not censored there. I can say whatever I want. And so yeah, you
God
find
help
me
us.
At Blackbird Deuce, like the Blackbird Deuce, D-U-C-E at Substack, and you can find me at Carrico Troy on Twitter, CARICOTROY.
Hey, thanks, buddy, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, my man. Thank you, brother.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Hey, this is Tony Truitt with Truitt News Radio. Check out our show every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on FM Talk 106.5. It's all positive and no politics every single week. That's Truitt News Radio, Sunday mornings at 8, where the show that brags on everybody. Don't miss it.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. A reminder about how dangerous our heat is. Several construction workers in downtown Mobile were taken to the hospital suffering from heat exhaustion. They were working at a construction site at the old YMCA on Water Street. When Mobile Fire Rescue arrived, 8 to 9 workers say they were impacted by heat exhaustion. They'd been working since 3 a.m. 5 were transported to the hospital. Later today, residents in Pritchard have an opportunity to learn more about a proposed data center. Council Vice President Roy Smith is hosting an informational video tour of the proposed data center at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The meeting will be held at City Hall on East Pritchard Avenue. A man is now in police custody after robbing the Bank Plus on Montlamar Drive. They say he walked in the bank and slid a note to the teller. It's unclear what the note said, but the man was arrested immediately and the bank was closed for about half an hour. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5. Local coverage you can count on.
I'm Paul Lewis, General Manager for Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationship since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business. Same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
The Mobile County Sheriff's Office wants you to know how to safely and legally operate an ATV. Remember, these vehicles are not designed for use on paved surfaces, and it's illegal to do so. Always wear a helmet, never drive under the influence, and never let children operate an ATV. Your ATV dealer can provide training for your specific model or can direct you to the proper source. Call the Mobile County Sheriff's Office at 574-8633 for more safety tips or visit online at mobilecountyso.com.
John Young is on a Is It Worth It mission.
We're the good guys. Someone must stand and say, you can come no further than this.
Raise the standard.
They got jobs yet?
Not yet. They need to get some.
Join Mr. Mobile's Port City Patriots.
In order to improve, to make a difference, we sit down on our hands and we don't do anything, we'll never be able to improve.
Tonight in Mobile with John Young. Monday nights at 8 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Get to some text, probably not all in the same order because I'm going to have to go back. Our dog texts are voluminous today. Let's go to, okay, on the data centers. Keith, how can we be sure they're not using these data centers to mine Bitcoin? That certainly would explain all the electricity usage. Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin mining, obviously, yeah, you get it. It takes a lot of electricity. But I think these are, like I said, my kind of hayseed understanding of this is you build data centers the same way you build storage units, right? And then you rent the space. They do that for the, now you can have your issues with Anthropic or other companies doing AI. That's fair discussion out there. But what the data centers are doing is like, hey, y'all need space. We build out space. You know, it's like a warehouse, like a storage unit here. And I think just holding that data is going to take a lot. I mean, if there's not going to be a raise in individual rates because of data centers coming online, then the associated power companies in our state, Alabama Power and the others, I just need y'all to have a declaratory statement signed, guaranteed, that rates will not rise because of the consumption from these. And at that point, that's the last part of the things I've been worrying about. It's kind of, to be simple, if it's not, because you hear a lot of, they say, oh, it's not going to raise rates. Okay, then write it out. Say, are we the aforementioned company, fill in the company, will not raise your power rates because of this. We've raised them for a bunch of other reasons, but not because of this. Waiting for that. Jim B. says, regarding data centers, I've worked in the chemical industry, including up Highway 43 for over 40 years. I think data centers will be less intrusive than anything else. The only question is power cost. With you. Let's see. Unnamed texter said, this is a load of crap. The citizens are interested in preservation. The zoning was wrong in the first place. You guys are supporting infringing on traditionally black historical areas. Those plants should have never been allowed to be in those areas. Huh? I like when I get lumped in. You guys. All right, you guys. Y'all, I'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, to 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, take a second here. Make sure you got your pictures posted up. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. One of the ways to win with our America 250 Summer Showcase. Get your pictures in. Each week, we're going to pick, well, the people, the most likes on the picture will win each week for the America 250 Summer Showcase. You're going to win a U.S.-made American flag plus mounting kit from American Legacy and Gulf Shores just as a weekly winner. Plus, you get put in the grand prize that will be drawn for the end of next month. And it's over $4,600 worth of pretty cool stuff from our participating sponsors. Speaking of which, participating sponsors, places you can drop your name in and get qualified that way as well. So you do the picture thing, and you could do both, but you do the picture thing, gets you in. You could also go by and drop your name, and you'll see our logoed, you can't miss them, the America 250 Summer Showcase boxes, and they'll have a slip there, put your name information on there, phone number so we can call you. Drop it in there. You do that at J&M Tackle. Do that at G&D, Farm, Feed, and Outdoors. Do that at Gray's Craze. I was just by there yesterday. Cart Doctor, Piggly Wiggly stores in Mobile and Baldwin County. You go American Legacy, all these places, if you'll go, and it's all listed. If you'll go to fmtalk1065.com, you'll see the link right up top there. Okay, it's going to say America 250 Summer Showcase. Just click on that picture. It'll give you all the details, but hopefully you can get in on the pictures and get in on when you go by our participating sponsors. But go look at them. The prize is awesome. It is awesome stuff. All right, let's do the phones here, and we'll get back to the text line, I hope, if we've got time, but we'll go to the phones. And first up, Fireball. I hadn't heard from you in a while. Hey, Fireball. You there?
Hey, this is Fire Dog.
Oh, it's Fire Dog. Okay. It's not Fireball. It's Fire Dog. So what's up, Fire Dog?
So two things. I was the one that originally had texted in a while back about the passwords for the kids that so I was in Air Force Intelligence, and I slipped that kind of thing up years and years and years ago before the internet.
Fire Dog's saying, when I talked the other day, y'all, about having the password, like the word that the family knows, I forgot who it was. It was. So it's my, and I've implemented it in my family. So thank you, Fire Dog. It is a cool thing.
Yeah. So that was one thing that I implemented. Also with the passwords, like if anybody had ever showed up at their school or any stranger that says like, hey, your dad said to come pick you up, the first thing I trained them on was, what is your specific password?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have that password, you scream, kick them, hit them, run away.
Yep.
They're not it. And now with the AI scams, you know, that's something that, again, unless you give me, you know, one of my kids called up and say I've been kidnapped, unless you give me the password.
Yeah, I know it's not you. Yeah,
they're not it. The other thing, you know, with the AI scams, with the somebody who's injured or something like that, that would be a little more like they can't talk.
That's what they did to my family. Some members of my family, he has his jaw broken, so he can't talk.
Yeah, the first thing I do is hang up and call all the local hospitals and find out if they were there. So, but that's me. The other thing is the AI data share. So I'm an IT guy. Have been since I got out of the Air Force in 2008. I'm a network administrator. That's what I do. We have a data center in Illinois. We rent space there. So there are endless rows of these racks with servers. And we rent three racks of space where we put in our own equipment. So we put in our own servers. We put in our own equipment, our own firewalls, the whole nine yards. And then that is where one of our main data centers is. That is a repository of one of the three data centers we have for information. So we rent space there. We do not own the building. We do not own the power.
Right. So my analogy is correct, right? It's like you're renting a storage unit. Like,
now, say I wanted to set up my own server in Amazon Web Services, AWS, or Microsoft Azure. We actually have some of those as well at the company I work for. So we go to Microsoft and say, we need to build six servers for the following thing. We want them up in the cloud. We actually have a program that runs up there. We rent those servers. We set them up. They're virtual. I don't know where those things physically are. Couldn't tell you. They could be in Brazil for all I know.
Okay.
So the physical servers that those live on, they're probably not Brazil. But you get my point, right?
Yep.
We don't know where those are, and it doesn't matter. As long as we have the latency and the quickness to get our information up there and back there. Now, we have 70 sites across the planet, a bunch of different countries. There's like 16 different countries we're in. Every one of those talks to these virtual servers. And they're just out there. So that's what we, what an AI data center or a data center would be. You don't own anything in the data center. You just rent space.
Right,
in the data
right.
center. Kind of like what you were talking about with the storage cabinets.
Yeah.
There's that. So that's one of the things that, like I said, and that's fairly common. Lots of companies that I have worked for in the past 10, 15 years do that. The other thing with the data centers is, you know, I did work at Austell for a year. It was a wonderful job. I liked it. This was years and years ago, right when they were in the middle of expanding all of their, you know, to a bunch of different stuff that they were going to be starting to build there at Austell. And I don't recall anybody complaining about power.
Nope. I've said this the whole time, Fire Dog, is I really do think one of the problems is there's not enough jobs to spread around. Everything before has been like, well, this made jobs. We're going to put, let's go KIV, go put hard-working Alabamians to a job. Like, and we don't, you know, we don't have as many of those, even though they do come with jobs, but there's not enough of that to go around.
So, yeah, I guess there's that. But I'm just saying that the data centers aren't any more power-hungry than any other industry that we have here locally.
But even if they are, which I think some might be, but if the rate doesn't go up, which I'm still not sure, but I mean, if I could get a guaranteed, you know, certified letter from the power companies that the power rates will not increase because of these for the other customers, but they hadn't given us that. But if they give us that, then I think that's okay. Now we've taken that off the list. I don't know. I know there's so many people against this, and I do hear them. But I'm trying to logically go through this. I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't have any investment. You know, it's not, you know, I'm just trying to figure this out for myself.
Yeah, if they want to draw money off at my house, I will thoroughly endorse.
If they would stop at my house first, but yeah.
But I don't understand that if Austell expands and they're using much more power at Austell, does anybody call in and say, I don't want Austell to expand because the rates will go up? Sean?
Yeah, we don't. I hadn't heard that.
Airbus has got. They're building a new airport in Mobile with this brand new terminal and everything. The power rates are going to go up, Sean, in Mobile because of this big new airport terminal we're building.
I don't know. It's you haven't, and I appreciate the
Think
call.
Of all the water, all those bathrooms that are there, the water fountains. it uses water. Sean, sorry.
There you go. Listen, Varda, I appreciate your call. Thank you. And it's interesting, like we mentioned data centers, it's like the bat signal goes up because my buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies, I think he's on two. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. So, the signal went up.
He's right on. My signal went up again. Sorry. But yeah. So I've been thinking about all this too, and I wanted to point out a couple of things. So, like, think about all your email, think about all the pictures on Facebook, think about, you know, pictures on Google. That data has to live somewhere. So part of the expansion is the immense amount of digital life, for lack of a better word, that we're storing on the internet. All that stuff has to live on a server, so, or in a data center. So part of the big push to expand these data centers isn't just AI. It isn't just, co-location or whatever. It's the immense amount of data, like FireDog, right, who was on before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he mentioned, you know, Windows Azure and AWS, and then there's Google. They have their own cloud computing platform that you can lease space off their servers. So it's not just that. It's their growing, that industry is growing too, to his point, absolutely. But you also got to remember Facebook, Meta, and all these other folks. Just think of all the data out there. There's thousands of, you know, I can't even fathom the number that probably gets added per day. You know, people tweeting, people on Instagram, you know, all that stuff has to go somewhere.
So I think that's driving this big push for data centers. Also, there are different types of data centers, to FireDog's point. There's the co-location facilities. Those usually are far less dense, so those will take up far less energy than a hyperscale data center. And the hyperscale data centers are the ones that have racks from top to bottom filled with high compute power computers or servers that they're just churning away 24 hours a day. And they are doing, now, you know, a high performance computing data center can be a Windows Azure node. It could be, a Meta node. It could be AWS node. So it doesn't have just to be an AI to be a high performance computer center. So, you know, there's different types of data centers too. They're not all built the same. So the co-location ones, like FireDog was talking about, usually are far less dense, because typically you have to build cages around people's equipment. You know, so you got three racks, you know, a cooler or something like that, and then a cage. But you can't get as much stuff in those co-location facilities. But those are more like your, what did you use the example, the storage unit?
Yeah, just like, you store them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, just more high tech. So I just wanted to point that out, because I think people forget that how much data we just living you put out there on the internet, you know, or just if you're a Facebook user or an Instagram user, you know, there's, you know, even if you're not posting stuff, all that data has got to be, you know, it goes somewhere.
Yeah. And, I mean, for you to be able to go look at it. I mean, you know, it's funny that, Troy had mentioned Google Earth, which I've, you know, Lord knows I've probably burned through a couple servers in my time spent on Google Earth.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And just, and also think that the first YouTube video ever posted is still out there. So when data gets out there, it typically it doesn't go away. I mean, something caches it, gets copied. So, you know, there's all that stuff has to go somewhere too. So as our digital world increases and the amount of websites and the amount of apps out there, all that stuff has to go somewhere. A lot of these data centers are built to support, you know, Instagram or Facebook, and it takes probably, I don't know the figures on it, but they have data centers all over the world that support that. So just a point, I get, you know, someone said about Bitcoin mining, and that's so old, like you couldn't even pay for the front door of that place, like if they're building something, you know, that data center in Calvert, which from what I've read, I've not done any more research than Google it. They claim it's a hyperscale data center. So that means, you know, that is one of the bigger, more high-performance ones that's going to take power, but not, you know, I don't think much more power than a normal one would, but I'm just saying, you know, it is built to be a hyperscale data center, not like a co-location facility.
And once again, for somebody who just, the difference is, if they want to, you know, impress folks this weekend, hang around drinking a beer or whatever, the difference right. between co-locate and hyperscale.
So co-locate means that you or me or FireDog could go rent a storage unit, for lack of a better word, inside the data center, and we put our own servers in there, our own routers, and we manage that little rack. So I can walk in there, change my server out anytime I want. It's just like a storage facility. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, they supply the power and the electricity and the cooling 24 hours a day and the secure access to it and the connectivity usually. So that's co-location. That means that you're sharing space with many people in the data center. There could be many different companies in that same row even, but you have access to your own row that you, or your own rack, if I can speak right, that you've rented in that row. So that's co-location. Hyperscale means that someone like a Google, Facebook, you know, AI, one of these many AI companies out there have rented a node or put in, most of the time they don't rent. Most of the time, if it's like a HPC cluster, or just high performance computing cluster, they're going to have all these things already pre-manufactured. So they're just going to roll these things in, you know, set them up in all these rows, put the cooling in there, and then let them go, wire them up, let them go. So hyperscale means that this data center is just going to be filled with rows and rows of server racks, top to bottom, filled with servers that are all acting kind of as one node. So that's Okay. That's what Calvert is. Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, hopefully that's
there we go.
A better answer. Anyway, thank you for having me on.
Hey, always appreciate it. Listen, and we'll get him back on at length here because I don't think this subject is going away anytime soon. It's always good to hear from John with Ascension. All right, coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. 155 FM Talk 106.5. And let me do this. So we talked about data centers. This guy, look at the segue. He's like a data center of his own when it comes to information about precious metals and a lot of collectibles out there. It's Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, man.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I can feel the processing power when I talk to you. So what's happening today with gold and silver?
Well, they were down a smidge, and after the Fed left rates unload unchanged, they started climbing again. Of course, a lot of speculators were betting that the Fed was going to raise by 0.25%, and of course, they left things unchanged, and that helped. Other than that, the markets were kind of slow. Everybody was waiting to see what the Fed would do.
Well, yeah, you talk about that as a hedge, right? Yeah, you've always said, hey, have this as part of your portfolio, not the whole portfolio, a hedge, because we're looking at, I mean, we have inflation. You know, that's why the Fed was talking about that interest rates. How does this protect you?
It protects you because it's priced in U.S. dollars. So as the dollar drops and interest rates go up and the dollar becomes worth less, since precious metals are priced in U.S. dollars, they rise. Just because the dollar went down, inversely, the commodities get more expensive. Silver, gold, everything, coffee, I mean, it's just inflation. Those things go up. It's part of how it works. So when you have the Fed usually raises interest rates, usually the markets will drop because the dollar will get stronger. Banks will move money into the bond market, and, of course, they'll take it out of usually precious metals or other commodities and move it around. And it's what's strange. A lot of times they're moving these large sums of money. It's not real. It's just ETF, electronically traded. But it does affect the physical silver, prices people pay when they receive the items. So keep in mind, a lot of times those things will be short-term changes and things go back the way they were within a day or two. So don't panic.
See, this is why he is the professor. All right, tell folks how to come find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us at 251-725-5090 or just go on the web and find us at mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right. There he is. It always explains, how these things, which is interesting. I mean, you watch gold and silver move. You watch platinum and palladium move. Why do they move? Get some understanding instead of just buying it because everybody else is. Got to understand what's going on. My gosh. I'm sorry to so many that I couldn't get to the text here because we got lots about dogs, biting dogs. Now, listen, Mayor Jerry Gattis will be in with us tomorrow. There's a lot we want to talk to him about. That may be one of the questions you bring up. You can text those in to 251-343-0106, but he's going to join us at noon tomorrow. And then coming up on Friday's show, former mayor of the city of Mobile, now working with the airport, MAA, and a couple other board roles out there. Sandy Stimson joins us. A lot to talk about with him, too. So that's Mayor Jerry Gattis tomorrow, former Mayor Stimson on Friday. All right, Paul Feinbaum takes over next, and we'll do it again tomorrow. And by the way, I'm pinch hitting. I'll be on the morning show here for a couple of days in a row, so y'all tune in bright and early at 6:00.